My name's William. I'm super excited to be here with you guys today. I am the fourth, by the way. Everybody like laughs when they hear that, but I'm the fourth. My son's the fifth. So just keeping it real, you know? No, I'm really excited today, excited for this opportunity that I have just to kind of share the word that God's put on my heart. And a couple things I just want to kind of to address before we move on any further. This coming up week is finals week, so I know you guys are super excited. We always open our church up during finals week starting tonight, 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. You can come here, free Wi-Fi, coffee, snacks. I want to say it's quiet, but I know it gets a little crazy sometimes. But if you're looking for a place to study, drop in here. If you got some friends that are looking for a place, we'd love to have them. 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. starting tonight, and that goes through Wednesday. So we'd love to have you come out. And also, last week was Easter, which was phenomenal. You guys don't really get to see the perspective that we get to see on any given Sunday. And last week was really cool for us. We had over 1,300 people join us between our three services. In that, every service, there were, countless amount of people that raised their hand and accepted Christ. So, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here. Thank you for being a part of just the story of DCC. So give yourself a hand. All right. And before we get started, too, I just wanted to say shout out to Ben. Ben has been one of my best friends since college. He had God put on his heart to start this place. We're coming up on 7 years, and it's been you guys probably heard the famous story of him inviting us all over for breakfast and nobody showing up. My side of the story is he invited us over for breakfast on Sunday morning when we were all volunteering at another church, and none of us showed up. So that's a classic Ben move, if you know Ben. But I'm just incredibly thankful for his leadership, and about 6 months in of starting the church, God put it on my wife and I's heart to be a part, and it's been such a phenomenal journey, and just thankful to be here. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, and we're going to get started. Father, thank you for today. Thank you just for your word that's alive, Lord, that's speaking to us, Lord, and thank you just for these baptisms we got to celebrate, Lord, just the testimony of just how, Lord, faithful you are. You're consistently pursuing us no matter where we are in our lives, Father, and I just thank you that we get to be a part of their story, that we get to just celebrate that. We love you. We thank you. We ask as we just get into your word that you move me out of the way and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So a little bit about me. I grew up here in Tallahassee. I love Tallahassee. I think it's the best place. I think it's the best city in Florida. And I think Florida's the best state. So partially because we have the best football team in the country, not record wise, but like color scheme and like, you know, all that stuff. Best history. We have like the best mediocre baseball team in the country as well. We're always good. We're never great, but you can always count on us being good. So, no, I love it. I think I love being here. But actually, when I was 18 years old, I was ready to get out, right? I just graduated high school. I felt a call to the ministry. I was, passionate about leading worship. And so I found this 1-year worship program out in Southern California. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I've never been there. My parents are crazy enough to send their oldest son out there. So 3,000 miles away, I packed my bags. I had like this long, like hippie hair, and like this weird chin strap beard thing happening. but I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm packing it up. I'm going. So here I was, moved 3,000 miles away, excited for the opportunities that were in front of me. Excited because I had gotten to a point where I said, God, I surrender my life to you. I give you my life and use me. Take everything I have and just use me. Oh, man, who threw that picture up? I just noticed it. That was probably Jeff. I'll get you next time, Jeff. Yeah, that's my wife. So we started dating when I was in California and she was here. We went to high school together. So cool. You can take it down. All right. Okay. All right. Nice. That's Ben, me and Ben, by the way. That's the hippie hair I was talking about. We both gained like, you know, probably 50 pounds since that picture. But cool. So I'm not joking when I say we've known each other for a long time. But so here I was. I moved to Southern California. I was excited for what God wanted to do. I'd given my life over, and I said, God, here I am, just like Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, God, send me, use me. And I was so eager. I was so excited. Quickly, I got out there. Felt like a nightmare. I was no longer the most talented person in the room. And at the same time, I got into a point where it felt like every opportunity that was in front of me just felt like leftovers. Just felt like, man, these are just the things nobody wants to do. Like, these aren't opportunities. And as graduation weekend's coming up, maybe some of you guys are starting to kind of feel like that, you know, where you're kind of, you're graduating, you know, maybe you're not really exactly sure what you're going to do. You got a job at Starbucks or Lucky Goat, and you're excited, but at the same time, you're kind of like, well, didn't really need a degree for this, you know? Or maybe you got a job at Department of Health and you're thankful for your first job, but, you know, your best friend got a job at Amazon, you know, and you're like, wow, cool. This is a sweet Department of Health job, you know? And of course, we all have that one, like, friend that somehow didn't work during college and they saved $50,000 to travel Europe for a year. So, McKenna. But, you know, we're kind of like, man, where are my opportunities? Where are my opportunities? God, I've given my life to you. I've surrendered my life to you. I said, God, I want you to use me, but the opportunities aren't there. And that's what I want to talk about today. When we're at that point, when we're in that spot, whether you're there now or you've been there in the past or you'll be there at some point in life where you just feel like, God, is this it? Is this all that's out there? Today we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, and I love the book of Ephesians because unlike other letters that Paul wrote, the church of Ephesus actually didn't have any major sin in their life. There was no like catastrophic thing that was happening for them as a church. Like the church of Galatia, they had false teachers coming in. The church of Corinth in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there was weird sexual immorality stuff that was happening that Paul was needing to address. But Paul actually wrote this letter not because there was some huge thing he needed to address, but because they believed in Christ, but their actions were starting to not really represent Christ. So starting in chapter 4, Paul is starting to go through, he's starting to list and talk about attributes of a Christian. This is what a Christian looks like. They walk in love. They walk in humility. There's a sense of unity that amongst believers. And it kind of all comes to kind of the pinnacle here is in chapter 5, verse 15. And we're going to really hone in on 15 and 16 today. Two verses, one sentence. And I'll preface it with this. This is what I love. One thing I love about God's word is like we can learn so much by reading big chunks at a time, but we can also take one little sentence and like God can totally rock our world in that. And so that's my prayer today is that God will completely change your perspective in this one sentence. So chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Look carefully. So Paul, he's listed all these attributes of what a Christian should look like. He said all these things, and then he kind of says, stop, look carefully how you walk. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Another way to put that is look carefully how you walk, because it's easy for your life to not look any different before you were a Christian than when you are a Christian. It's easy to walk as the unwise when you're believing. And I think it's critical here as Paul is telling us, hey, you know, it's if we're not careful of observing how we're walking, if observing where we're going, then it's so easy to kind of drift. We naturally kind of drift that our life starts to look like we aren't a Christian, like we aren't Christ, like we aren't following Christ. And maybe you're here and you're exploring your faith and you're checking things out and your friend came to get baptized and you just say, hey, I'm going to check it out. Or you came last week and it was interesting and you're disappointed because I'm here. But you know, you're here and you're kind of exploring your faith and whatnot, and maybe this is your holdup, right? Maybe this is your holdup because you have friends that are Christians, but their lives don't look any different. They proclaim to be Christians, and they are Christians, they're following Christ, but outwardly there's no fruit that is kind of showing that. And so Paul says, be careful because it's easy to drift there. But what I love about it is he doesn't just leave it there. He actually next tells us how we can walk as wise. So go into verse 16. It says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Another translation says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. The actual Greek word that is used there is a marketplace word that literally means to see and to take. To see and to take. And so, you know, he's communicating, hey, when you see the opportunity that's in front of you, we need to take it. There's every minute there's an opportunity around us. As time is going by, as you're walking, as you're going through this life, as you're going through different seasons of life, as you see the opportunity, take the opportunity because the days are evil. It's the equivalent of like a BOGO at Publix, right? Like we all have that BOGO that we're like, I don't care if I have it. 100 of these already, it's BOGO. I got to get it, right? My man Christian, who is our creative director here, I saw on his Instagram this week, he got like 30 gallons of chocolate milk because it was BOGO at Publix. And I'm like, he literally like showed his fridge. It was just like covered in like chocolate milk. I'm like, one, you're going to get sick. Like that's a lot of chocolate milk. Two, like you can just buy milk and put chocolate syrup in it. Like, but he saw this BOGO and he saw it and he had to take it. Right? And for me, like, it's Cheez-It party mix. Anybody? Anybody a fan? Like, two of you. Cool. Like, I could have all the snacks at my house, but, like, if Cheez-It party mix is BOGO, like, I'm getting them. Like, I'm checking the expiration dates. I'm like, let's make sure. I could have 10 of them at the house. I'm like, we got to get more. Right? They're actually BOGO this week. You should check it out. But what Paul is communicating here is when we see the opportunity, we have to take the opportunity. When we see it, we have to take it. And maybe you're here and you're kind of like, well, exactly. That's what I thought. I know that, right? My problem is I don't have any BOGOs, right? I don't have any opportunities. I'm sitting here. I've given my life over to the Lord. I say, God, use me. And I wake up Monday morning and I go and enter data into this, like at this IT company. And I'm sitting here going, what? God, where's my BOGO? I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. I think the problem is it's not that we don't want to take the opportunity. It's that we don't see it as an opportunity. We don't see it as an opportunity. I want you to remember this. Take the opportunity in front of you, not the opportunity you wish was in front of you. Take the opportunity, redeem the time that's in front of you. Don't dream about redeeming the time that you wish was in front of you, right? I think about this with, I have two boys, they're 4 and 1.5. And I think about this with, you know, one of my goals is to just be, you know, a great godly example to them, be a great father to them. And it's so easy to think about that and think about how I can invest in them and pour into them and think of them as these big things, as this big like opportunity that I want to happen. You know, maybe it's, hey, I want to actually, I had somebody talk to me after the last service. I want to go on this like 2-3 week like family RV trip, and we're going to rent this RV and travel around, go to the Grand Canyon, and like, you know, no phones allowed, and just bond as a family and do all these incredible things. You know, RV's going to break down. We're going to end up camping on the side of the road, but it will be like memories, you know? Actually, they said, the girl that was talking to me said they actually all got lice. So I was like, ugh. And trips are great. Don't get me wrong. Trips are great. But maybe the opportunity is that you come home from work on time and you put your phone away and you spend time with your kids every day. And you make it a priority to say, hey, I'm going to be home at this time. I'm going to invest in my kids. I'm going to be a part of their lives. I'm going to be Christ to them every day. And we think of, here's the problem, we think of opportunities as big and not as daily decisions. It's daily decisions. The opportunity is there daily. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Take the opportunities. I think another example is like, you know, we think of these huge things we want to do for God. You know, God, I got this new job. There's all these people that work here. I would just love to see revival happen within my office, right? I would love to see revival happen here. God, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. Yet we don't stop, have a conversation with our coworker. Take our coworker to lunch, ask them about their life, get to know them on an individual basis, but we think, oh God, I want you to do these big things. Man, God's saying, stop. There's an opportunity right in front of you. Redeeming the time. It's not about the big, but it's about the daily decisions that we have. There's a book out right now that I'm reading, and it's phenomenal. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. If you're interested in a book this summer, I highly recommend it. It's really good. I say I'm reading it. I'm audibling it, which I think is reading. So all you like purists out there, I'm sorry. But he kind of has an underlining principle here that I think is incredible. I'm a huge fan of habits. I think habits are important. Actually, there was a study that came out from Duke in 2006 that said 40% of our day is done through habits. 40% of what we do every day is just a habit. We just do it. And so if we want to be better about redeeming the time, if we want to change our habits, it's important. It's important to look at that. So he kind of has an underlying principle. He says, because we don't see progress fast enough, we wrongly conclude that the small decisions we make don't matter that much. I'm going to say that again. Because we don't see progress fast enough, the culture we live in, right? Give it to me now. I want it. I want it now. I want to see the results now. Because we don't see it fast enough, we wrongly conclude that the small decisions we make don't matter that much. In other words, we don't think having the conversation with that person in our office is going to make that big of a difference. We don't see it as an opportunity. We don't see it as a chance for us to invest in this person, to be a part of somebody's story. We see it as like, it's not making that big of a deal. It's whatever, you know? And we look for big and we don't look for the daily. But Paul says, if you want to walk as the wise, redeem the time. See it and take it. But because we think the small things don't matter, we don't. I went on this kick where I tried to, Adam Varan's here and he'll laugh at me. So I did like the whole intermittent fasting thing for a while. Anybody a fan? Okay, again, you guys are too young and your metabolism's too high and you haven't gotten this point yet. You'll get to a point where your metabolism slows down and you're going to have to like go on diets and stuff. But no, I did this whole intermittent fasting thing and Adam laughed at me because, you know, I was like, yeah, so for dessert, I have a LaCroix, right? And he's like, wait, what? I was like, it's like a mental thing. I like trick myself into thinking I'm having dessert, but I'm just having like a LaCroix. I'm like, ah. So great. I know it's weird. But anyway, so there was another, before that, I love ice cream. Like I'm a huge ice cream fan. Well, like it's easy to kind of trick ourselves into thinking like these small decisions aren't making a big impact. So like, it's easy for me to think, oh, I'm just going to have, instead of LaCroix tonight, I'm just going to have a little bit of ice cream, right? Have some ice cream. Next morning, I like, get on the scale. I'm like, all right. I lost a pound. Let's go. I get all hype and it's like, I'm about to make the ice cream diet, right? Ice cream every night and I'm going to be in good shape, right? Because somehow I ate ice cream and I correlated it to losing a pound. Well, we know that's silly, right? If you sit here and you eat ice cream every night for 2 months, you're going to get on the scale and you've gained weight, right? You've probably gained 20 pounds because you decided that you're going to eat ice cream every night instead of LaCroix, right? And it's the same. If we want to have an impact, we want to have this huge impact, but we are not choosing to invest and take advantage and redeem the opportunities. Man, think about it in your personal life, right? We want to be, you know, maybe you're passionate about pursuing Christ. You're here, you're passionate, you're saying, man, I want to be a powerhouse for Jesus, right? I want to be somebody, I see this couple, I want to be that couple, I want to be that person, I want to be that man or woman of God. But then when it comes down to daily spending time with him, we don't prioritize it. What makes us think, if we don't prioritize daily spending time with him, that we're not going to, that we are going to turn into the person God's called us to be? It's the same thing. We need to redeem the time. And then I think the next part of this verse, actually before that, I think from that, Jesus is telling us, as he says in Luke chapter 16, to be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in those little things. Because when we're faithful, we never know what God's going to do. So my question to this morning, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. I want you to ask yourself this. I genuinely want you to ask yourself this. What are the opportunities in front of you that you're not taking because you don't think they're that big of a deal? I'll say it again. What are the opportunities right in front of you that you're not taking because you don't think they're that big of a deal, because you don't think they're going to make an impact? What are those? Maybe for you, it's having that conversation. Maybe it's, I'm over our community groups, so maybe it's leading a community group, maybe. You know, maybe it's just attending a group, getting more involved. Maybe for parents, it is having that, you know, that making a point to like stop work when you're at home, or picking a time. Maybe you work from home. Maybe it's picking a time and saying, okay, work's done for the day, or work's done during this block that I have with my kids. If you're older and maybe you've come to DCC and you're like, man, I love this place, but, you know, I just feel a little out of place. I feel like I'm not as young as some people here. Man, maybe redeeming the time for you is opening your home, having some younger people over, giving them the wisdom that you have, that you've experienced, investing in them. Maybe it's kind of putting that fear aside and kind of saying, hey, I got an opportunity right here in front of me. We all have those opportunities. And why I think this is so important is the second half of verse 16. It says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. In other words, Paul's saying is we're not on a neutral playing field here. This isn't, hey, if you don't redeem the time, if you don't take the opportunity that's in front of you, Rebecca's going to pick it up, or, you know, Eric's going to pick it up. Like, no, that's not the case. Satan is here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's roaming the earth. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. So if we don't redeem the time, Satan he's after us. He's after these people that are around us. And so we have to take the opportunity that's in front of us. And my fear is that we'll spend our entire lives looking for the opportunity when we've missed out on daily opportunities. We look for the thing, this one thing that's going to just blow everybody's mind. Yet every day we miss out. Redeem the time. Take the opportunity. There's a guy here friend of mine. His name's Scott McCoy. How many of you guys know Scott? Woo! Scott's the man. Scott, I actually had lunch with him this week, and I didn't even know this, but his first Sunday in Tallahassee, he came to DCC, and he's graduating next weekend, and he's like, we were talking about just asking him questions and talking and stuff. He's like, yeah, I actually never went to another church in Tallahassee. Like, he's been here for 4 years. He's been invested, been a part of the community here, and just absolutely love the guy. But to me, he's an example of somebody that has redeemed the time that he has been here. So Scott, his first year, he decided, you know what? I'm going to join the FSU Flying High Circus, right? Yeah, circus. And so he goes, I'm in college, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to join the circus. So Scott, what I love about it is he didn't just say, hey, I'm going to join the circus because I really want to, you know, do the tightrope. He was like, no, I want to join the circus because I want people to know Jesus that are in the circus. And he spent 4 years pouring in, investing into these people, praying for them. And it wasn't just, yes, he had a fervent prayer of like, Lord, I want you to do a revival. I want you to work in their lives. But it was investing in them. It was building relationships. And it's been incredible to see over the past 4 years where people from our church have joined the circus and gotten involved because they want to be a part of this. There's people from the circus that have started coming to church and been involved over the years. And it's just incredible to see somebody that he saw it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And he took it. He didn't just let it sit there and see what God would do. But he actually was involved in taking that. And so for me, as I kind of wrap up this morning, kind of my story, I was in California. I felt like, man, this is it. Like, what? I wasted my time. I need to go home, whatever. Soon, God started working on my heart, and he changed my heart. And he said, you know, he just told me, like, no, I just want you to start taking opportunities. Take the opportunities. And they weren't the most glamorous. They weren't like these big flashy things. It was a big church that I was at and started leading worship at kids' church and youth groups. And one of my favorite things I did was they had like a kids with special needs service, and I led worship there. And things that, like I said, looked like leftovers on the outside, but God used those opportunities to not only further God's kingdom, but to mold and to shape my heart. And not only as a worship leader, but he also started to call out giftings that I didn't even know I had, passions that I didn't even know I had. Like I said, my heart and my desire was to be out there and to stay out there and, you know, go work at a church and whatnot. And again, not bad things. But I left that year having a deeper desire to know God's word. Went to Bible college for a couple years after that. And it's just been, I look back on that season and I see how I took opportunities and how God molded and shaped my heart and changed who I was, you know, more into his image. And so as you leave today, maybe some of you guys are visiting, maybe some of you guys are moving home or taking a job or whatever, maybe, or some of you guys are sticking around. The question I want to leave you with, what are the opportunities in front of you that you're not taking because you don't think they're that big of a deal? Let's redeem them. Let's take them. Because God wants to use you. He has a plan for you. One of our core values here is spiritual contributors, not consumers. We honestly believe this. I'm not just saying it. We honestly believe every single one of you has a role in furthering the kingdom of God. And he's placed you and he's gifted you to do that. There's an opportunity in front of you. What I loved, Aiden and there's a guy in the next service that, two guys that they came to church because their friend was getting baptized, right? They came, they were like, yeah, I guess I'll kind of give it a shot. Here they are a year later, almost to the day, and they're getting baptized in front of their church family, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Their friend saw an opportunity to invite them to church, and they took it. You have those opportunities. We're blessed with those opportunities. So let's redeem them. Let's pray.